morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. It is May 12th, 2026. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to acknowledge that this program, as well as all of our programs here at CJSF, are broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hoka-Milam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And we have a pretty stacked episode of talk and local news. Before we get into any of that, though, let's start off the hour and your morning with a little bit of local music as well. This is Water Temple by a band that is a favorite here at CJSF, Sour Dope. Once again, that was Water Temple by the band Sour Dope. We are back with Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. For the first piece of the hour, we're going to be going up to the Kootenays. This is a story from CJLY in Nelson, BC, from fellow LJI journalist Jamie Frederick, about the warm, dry spring that much of BC has been having. Now, that is raising concerns for a summer drought. However, there is much more to be discussed.
Most of us have been enjoying the warm, dry spring in the West Kootenays this year. According to British Columbia's Snow Survey and Water Supply Bulletin, which includes data up to May 1st, low snowpack, early snowmelt, and warm seasonal weather forecasts are elevating drought hazards for this upcoming season. Jonathan Boyd, a hydrologist with the province's River Forecast Center, says the situation developed with precipitation that arrived as atmospheric rivers in both December and March, and has become a tale of two different stories, with huge variation in the snowpack dependent largely on elevation.
For areas in, say, the Boundary and the West Kootenay, we did have those atmospheric rivers spill into the interior, but when they do occur, they are warmer, so that low and mid-elevation snowpack didn't really develop, and it's, of course, more noticeable in the Kettle, which doesn't necessarily have the higher elevation, whereas getting into the high elevation, so areas very close to Nelson there, Redfish Creek, the snow station, it reached all-time record highs for April.
Boyd notes that the East Creek snow station in the West Kootenay, which is in the headwaters of the Duncan Reservoir, set a new record value in April, with the previous high established in 1980.
The high elevation ended up getting a lot of snow. The mid elevation was kind of in between, and then the low elevation, there was a point in time in the year where the Nelson station, it's just a manual site, but it was actually recording record low. So when all the numbers get averaged out, the West Kootenay came in kind of looking like normal. It's really a tale of two stories where lower elevation watersheds, smaller watersheds, may actually be already out of snow, much more susceptible to drought, and then the bigger watersheds, or also just smaller creeks like Redfish Creek or Duhamel Creek, their source is such high elevation snowpack that like they likely will do fairly well for the rest of the season just because the snow was so high.
He contrasts the situation in the West Kootenay with that in the Boundary, which has a very low snowpack, and the Okanagan, which Boyd describes as having a dismal snowpack this year.
Yeah, it's just been a really interesting year where we've got some extremes in terms of how low it is, but then also extremes at those higher elevations.
Right.
Snowpack is quite healthy, and there still will be a risk for flooding in some of those areas that still hold the high elevation snow.
Another factor that plays into the concerns for drought in the weeks and months ahead is the rate at which snow is melting, particularly at those higher elevations. Boyd says warmer than average temperatures in late April and early May have contributed to faster and earlier snowmelt than usual.
The April temperatures were really warm. It was dry as well, so we did kick off some decent amount of melting in April. And so far, right now, as of this first week of May, it's been the fastest melt rate from May 1st to today that we've had since 1988. And whether we'll keep that pace, I don't know, as it cools down a little bit, but it's been just a dramatic turn. And it's catch 22. If there's an area that has the higher snowpack at the higher elevation, it's actually going to be a positive in terms of it melts some of the snow early, which might mean that the peak snow, which eventually does occur, may be lessened a little bit because of that.
Once again, at lower elevations, which did not see significant snow accumulation over the winter, snowmelt is occurring earlier than normal with the recent warm temperatures.
This year, for sure, the low elevation was early. Early was even in like early April, mid-April. And then now the mid-elevation has just been absolutely rapidly depleted over the last week. And then starting to see across the province that high elevation is beginning to tick down just with how warm it did get over this past week. And the overnight lows as well just weren't very low. So it kept the snowmelt going overnight.
So while one might be tempted to draw conclusions about what this means in terms of elevated drought hazard for the coming season, Boyd cautions again that much depends on elevation and the size of the watersheds in question. And much is also dependent on what is meant when talking about drought.
From our perspective at the River Forecast Center, we speak more to hydrological drought, so just how the rivers are flowing and the creeks are flowing relative to normal conditions. But drought could also be associated to just sort of like the lack of precipitation elevation, or there's even a longer-term drought, or sometimes it's measured based on water scarcity and whether there's water availability for ecosystems or domestic or agricultural needs.
Boyd admits the rapid rate of snowmelt at this point is their biggest concern, but much is still dependent on the weather over the coming weeks.
So much ties into what the weather is going to do for the rest of May, June, and July. And we have had years where it's melted really early and it was a low snowpack year and we were expecting a drought and there was a reprieve in the sense that the summer was wet and cold. The reprieve, I guess, for areas in the West Kootenay and see it in a few of the spots in the East Kootenay and Upper Columbia too, is just that high elevation snow does exist and doesn't get talked about too much, but it's actually a real positive from a glacier standpoint, where the glaciers have been taking a big hit in the summer months in terms of getting melted out. And maybe if we get a cooler summer, it might be a chance where the glaciers actually have an opportunity to grow a little bit this year.
So while many of us have been enjoying the warm, dry summer weather for the last few weeks, we might all instead hope for a return to more seasonable temperatures with greater precipitation in the days and weeks ahead. For Kootenay Co-op Radio News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jamie Frederick.
This is Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is your host, Danny Nesvedarani, for the hour. Thank you to CJLY and Nelson and Jamie Frederick for that piece. Looking forward to hearing many more news stories coming out of Nelson, BC. And before we get into the next bit of the hour, I just want to mention and remind everyone that we have a in-studio phone line that you can contact anytime during any program. You can call in, but you can also text. And if you text, we will receive that text directly and be able to respond to it. So if you have any sort of feedback, any kind of comment, anything that you want to share with us about what you're listening to, please do. You can reach that number at 778-782-2573. That is 778-782-2573. It's something we're really trying to prioritize. You know, we really want to hear from you. We really want to create a community of people that in real time provide their feedback to what we put out on the airwaves. And part of how CJSF builds community is through some of the features and pieces we do, specifically with local businesses doing really cool things. This next piece is one that I'd aired last week, but I thought I would play it once again because I think it is a really cool thing that is happening down in East Vancouver through Space Lab, which is an antique shop that specializes, once you walk in, it's pretty obvious to see, in audio equipment. And they have been hosting a series of workshops specifically for women in order to get more people who are generally not as included in some of these spaces into the world of hi-fi audio. Please take a listen to that piece. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Space Lab in East Vancouver is an antique store that specializes in one-of-a-kind antiques for the home. Everything from typewriters, artwork, books, furniture, and most noticeably when you walk into the space, audio equipment. Owner of Space Lab, Clint Moroz, knows a lot about audio, and it became clear from our conversation that he wants to share that knowledge.
Audio and design has been a passion of mine since I was a kid, but in any meaningful way, I was taking a set of speakers home I found on the side of the on the curb with my skateboard when I was living in Calgary. There's a guy putting them out on the curb, and he's like, "These are amazing." I said, "I've never had these speakers like that before." He's like, "Well, you should take them." And I came back to pick up a second one because they're so freaking huge. He had an amplifier and a turntable sitting there. He said, "Take those too." So that sort of got me into the difference in quality between, you know, Ghetto Blaster and just your basic, you know, junky 1990s, 1980s home audio stuff.
Moroz has recently started a series of educational workshops at Space Lab, Audio 101. These sessions delve into the world of high-fidelity music and audio equipment. Aiming to lower barriers to entry and make expert knowledge more accessible for newcomers to the scene. The motivation for these workshops came from an encounter Moroz had with a customer at Space Lab.
It came about because there's a couple things that have happened. I had a lady about a year and a half ago came in her 50s. You know, we're talking an adult woman with a really high-paying job who's quite successful. And she went to one of the hi-fi places in town here, and she said she went to her car and she basically cried. So they treated her so poorly, and they basically tapped her on the head and said, hey, you know, send your husband in, we'll take care of him. And she's like, I'm an adult. Like, this is pathetic. And she doesn't know that they treat everybody like that, a lot of these places. They're very gatekeepy. And then I've had people coming in with, I felt really bad about that. So she came in, we had a good time. I told her about stereos, we had a whole process. You know, I've had other people come in and say, hey, I'd like to learn, can you tell me? And I figure a bit more of a formal, sort of, not formal, a very casual introduction is a great sort of launch pad. But other things, like I was saying earlier, people coming in with a turntable saying it's broken because it doesn't make any sound, not knowing you needed speakers and an amplifier. So there's a lot more foundational information that a lot of people are missing because I think they skipped a generation possibly. You know, maybe if we look at the way a 20-year-old is interacting with cassettes and, you know, vinyl, there's a whole gap, you know, like an entire generation lacking of this whole system, this whole setup.
During our conversation, Clint Moroz also spoke about hi-fi audio and equipment as a hobby, one that he hopes to share through these workshops.
The first value is, like, you know, potentially I can generate and expand my client base, but it's more about the hobby and people's interest in the hobby, because, you know, like, there's listening bars are coming back online now. You're going to places, they're playing vinyl a lot, so people's interest in it is there. But the gap, and where you can't go to any normal hi-fi place and get somebody to walk you through all the steps and all the things, because most things, especially if you go, like, you know, you have London Drugs that sells basic, or Best Buy that sells basic things, you hear them in a big giant, you know, cathedral, and you don't get any sense of what it is. They're in a box, you buy it, you take it home. It's a lovely hobby, and there's a lot of stuff out there that people can access, like through relatives, family, friends, you know, stuff in basements, stuff in garages. It's just a great hobby, and everybody should be a part of it, because it's way more enjoyable this than not. You know, hook up your TV, hook up a streamer, connect your phone, connect your laptop. It looks cool, it's great decor, it sounds nice, it's got a lot of sincerity to it, and a lot of things have history. So for me, yeah, of course, I'd like to stay open, like to be a viable business, so expanding my demographic is obvious, but I think having people who have an interest but don't have good access, it's just nice to be able to expand the hobby. I think everybody should, you know, music is great. It's one of the greatest connectors we have. It's, you know, it transcends race, gender, culture. You know, you fire up, like, a streaming service and you get music from Africa you've never heard in your entire life. You can get, you know, Balinese music. It's astounding, the thing you can have access to now.
He also emphasized how these workshops are low barrier and entirely free of cost for those who attend.
Most anything, there's no bridges. There's no, the barrier, you generally have to come preloaded with a certain amount of knowledge and knowing what you're looking for. So I guess to simplify it, my goal in these things is give people, initially it's going to be for women, or people identify as women, and because they're traditionally really, really gatekept in this. And over time, because I have many men who say, please, like, I need to do this too. And, you know, couples, whatever. We have reel-to-reels, we have, you know, cassette players. We can do introductions to all these things. Just go on forever. But I think the biggest thing is to give people a bit of a basic grasp. So if you're going to find something on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or, you know, online, at least you have an understanding of what it is you're looking for. I've had people come in, they buy a thing, and it's partially broken. The guy convinces them it's easy to fix. And then they're, you know, they've just been screwed, right? Because they don't have enough knowledge to know they're being screwed. So if you empower people a bit, they can take that, and they have a bit of a foundation to even ask questions. You don't have to know anything. You don't even know how to ask a question about it. So if you know what you're looking for, or have a basic foundational knowledge, it's okay. How to hook it up, how to understand how they interact, the difference in speakers, the difference in components, just basic things. It's like buying a car. You know, you don't need a race car, but if you don't know anything about cars, they look cool.
When we arrived at Space Lab, we were also introduced to Narissa Goko, a local designer and abstract painter who is currently working on a project with Moroz to redesign some of the store's audio equipment that looks less than appealing. Her first introduction to Space Lab was when she went looking for audio equipment for herself.
Okay, so what brought me to the space? So I often go to underground dance parties in the city. So I love music. I love sound. My husband does, you know, on the side, he makes beats. So, you know, where I'm really just love sound. And so my husband and I decided to turn our living room into a listening room. So instead of just hearing music as, you know, background noise or ambient sound, I wanted it to be like, I wanted something physical, something to look at and appreciate, right? Like art. And I think that when you have something to look at, you kind of experience the space differently. So instead of just like cooking and having... Our space is also an open layout. So we've got the living room and kitchen all in one space. So instead of just cooking and having the music in the background, I want it to be more intentional, you know, like sit down and actually really listen to the music, to the sound. And I wanted good sound. And so Space Lab is the best place to go to. And it was my first time, you know, never been here before. Heard about Clint, heard about Space Lab, but never been here before. So I came and, you know, like what Clint said, because I did mention to him how nervous I was in the beginning, because I'm like, you know what, I was telling Clint the other day, I'm not a music nerd, but I appreciate good sound. And, you know, when I came here, I told myself, okay, I can talk about the lifestyle that I want, but I can't really get too deep into the sound, but I appreciate good sound, you know? And so Clint, when I came here, I told him, this is what I want. But instead of putting me in a box and just telling me, okay, that works for you, he really opened up my mind to the possibilities of what I could do, you know, what I could make. And then that overwhelmed me, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't come here for that. Like, I just wanted like something already like in front of me and then I take it home. But he opened up my mind. And I was like, wow, like he was showing me all the different horns and speakers and cabinets and what you could do, right? But again, I got very overwhelmed. In the end, I ended up getting a really nice vintage hi-fi speakers for our living room. So that's been amazing. So I've had, you know, I've had listening parties at home where we sit down and listen to records and stuff. So from that experience... I realized for people like me, you who are not music nerds, but appreciate sound, how can we bring people in and see the potential of what a beautiful speaker could look like in their home, you know, because what Clint said, you know, a lot of speakers are kind of ugly, right? And so, and I'm a painter, I do abstract painting. So I thought, what if we see, you know, speakers differently? What if we see them as art? You know, we've got art on the wall or art as rug, but what if we see speakers as a sculpture, an art sculpture? So Clint and I were talking and we were thinking that maybe, you know, I can translate my or extend what I do with my paintings and create pieces like, you know, existing speakers and paint on them and turn them into art.
While Narissa Goko's project at Space Lab is still underway, the audio workshops are currently being held. The next workshop is on May 3rd from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and the one after on May 10th. You can sign up for these workshops at spacelab.ticket.ca. That's spacelab.ticket.ca. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. We're back with Speak Up Only on CJSF 90.1 FM. A lot to explore with the world of sound, the world of hi-fi audio. And here, let me introduce you to some brand new sounds from the golden age of wrestling. That's right. That's the name of the artist. Maybe they have another name. Unsure. But their album is titled Sweet Chin Music. This next track is titled Map to the Stars. You were just listening to the Golden Age of Wrestling with Map to the Stars. Hope you enjoyed that little bit of ambient, or I guess in this case, glambient, here on Speak Up. If you had any thoughts on that track or anything that's been played so far, again, remember to text us or call at 778-782-2.